Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Shannon J. Kirshner. The sermon is based on scripture from Psalm 9, verses 9 through 20, and Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Central Sunday morning service for the 23rd of June, 2024, the fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Sermons under Worship.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, the fourth chapter, verses 35 through 41. We're picking up where we left off last week. On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And the disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And waking up, Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be silent. Be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. They seemed to trust him. By this point, they, the disciples, had been with Jesus for a while. They had seen him heal people from different diseases, even on the Sabbath day, which was risky. They had listened to Jesus' teachings about the reign of God, messages usually hidden in a parable. The reign of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground. The household of God is like a mustard seed. The disciples had been present for all those illustrative sermons. Furthermore, Mark goes out of his way to tell us that Jesus had also taken the disciples aside and explained in private what he meant in his parables. In this gospel, Jesus seems to want the disciples to have a clearer understanding of who he was and who he was calling them to be as his followers. All of this, the healings, the teachings, the time set apart with Jesus, all of that had seemed to build a foundation of trust. So at the end of that long day, when Jesus told them they were all going to pile in the boat and cross over to the other side, they followed his instructions. Now, they might have murmured amongst themselves as they stepped onto the boat. Knowing what they knew, I would think at least one of them would have quietly expressed some caution. After all, they knew they were going to the other side, that is, the Gentile side. Thus far in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus' ministry had been concentrated on the western side of the lake, the Jewish side, but now they were crossing over into predominantly Gentile territory. It was going to be interesting, that was for sure. I imagine a couple of them shook their heads at the whole notion as they picked up their oars and got in. But I also wonder if the disciples were more focused on the fact that Jesus wanted them to cross the sea at night. They knew firsthand the dangers of the sea and its always unpredictable mood. At least four of them were fishermen by trade, and probably many of them had experienced sea storms when the wind would come up unexpectedly, when the dark clouds would gather out of the blue, when the waves would begin to roar and foam, and they'd have no idea if they and their fishing vessel were going to survive and make it back home. The sea was a dangerous place. Furthermore, for these disciples, indeed for all of our ancient Hebrew brothers and sisters, siblings, the sea was not simply dangerous because of the reality of natural disasters. Rather, in their understanding of the world and of nature, the sea was the dwelling place for chaos and the demonic. The chaos monster and its cousin, evil, lived in the sea. So the sea was not only a potentially dangerous place, but it was also a place to fear. Our Bible is full of references to the sea, especially in the Psalms. And yet, even knowing all of that, at the end of that long day, as the sun dipped below the horizon and the moon began to show its face, as soon as Jesus said, "Let us go across to the other side," the disciples picked up their oars and stepped into the boat. At that moment, they made the choice to trust and to be obedient to Jesus rather than to give in to their fear of the sea. Perhaps the disciples figured that nothing would happen to them since they were with Jesus. They had already seen Jesus dispense with evil spirits with merely a command or a touch. Surely chaos would not dare swell that night. They were traveling with Jesus. That guaranteed a smooth ride. With Jesus on board, the sea would not dare raise its ugly storms. The wind would not dare blow chaos into action. They were with Jesus, really, what could happen to them? Yet, as we heard, almost as soon as they had pushed off from shore, a great windstorm arose. Chaos began to swirl and pulsate. The waves beat viciously against the boat. Water poured in. It was as bad as they had ever seen. The only thing they knew to do was to try and hold on for dear life. But where on earth was Jesus? Finally, a few of the disciples found Jesus in the stern, sound asleep on a pillow. The disciples cried out, a cry of anger and fear and abandonment. "Teacher! Do you not care that we're perishing? Jesus, do you not care that we are dying out here?" We have to pause for a moment at the profundity of the disciples' question. Does it strike you the way it strikes me that we've heard that kind of cry before? Does it strike you the way it strikes me that we've lived through our own moments, chaotic storms, when we've cried that cry before? "Jesus, do you not care that I'm scared and lonely?" cries a middle schooler. "Jesus, do you not care that cancer is eating him up?" cries a partner. "Jesus, do you not care my kids are hungry?" cries a father. "Jesus, do you not care that our planet is being destroyed?" cries a young adult. "Jesus, do you not care that my sister is dying?" cries a sister. "Jesus, do you not care that we are killing ourselves?" cries a grocery store clerk in Arkansas. "Jesus, do you not care that I am empty?" cries a widower. "Teacher," the disciples cried, angry and afraid, feeling abandoned, "do you not care that we are perishing?" I'm struck by the power of their ability to ask the question, our question. Because I imagine we all know whenever we are in the midst of a storm of chaos, whenever the vicious waves of trauma or loss are beating us up, whenever the waters of grief or fear are pouring in, it is almost impossible not to get angry or to feel afraid or to assume that we have been abandoned and God is asleep. It's almost impossible not to cry out and think we need to wake God up. Wake God up to the reality of our world and our lives. The disciples are asking our question, and they're acting on our question too, by doing something perhaps we've sometimes wanted to do, shaking God back into consciousness. They found Jesus asleep on the pillow and woke him up. And as soon as Jesus cleared his eyes and tried to focus on what was happening, the anguished disciples got right in his face and asked Jesus if he even cared, they were perishing. "Do you even care what's happening to us?" Now, as much as I'm struck by the power of their ability to ask the honest question, our question, I'm just as struck by the content of it. Because I would have thought the disciples might have said, "Jesus, stop the storm," or "Jesus, deliver us from this fury." That's not what they asked. Rather, at that point, with chaos and danger swirling all around, the disciples simply wanted to know if Jesus even cared what was happening. They thought they were perishing, dying. Did he even care? Could he not even wake up to worry with them? The disciples cried out and shook Jesus awake, and he rubbed his eyes and looked around and rebuked the wind for inciting such panic. He looked right at the face of the sea of chaos and evil. "Peace," he ordered. "Be still. Quiet down." And in response to his command, Scripture says a dead calm settled over the sea. Jesus turned back to his disciples. "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" Again, the content of the questions is important to hear. Jesus didn't say, "Why were you afraid of a storm?" Instead, he contrasted their fear with their faith. As I said earlier, it appeared the disciples had begun to trust him. They had sat day after day listening to him teach and preach. They had watched him heal and set people free. They had heard all the amazing things he proclaimed about God and how God would make all things well. But even more important than all that, lest we forget, Jesus had been with the disciples during the entire time of the storm. He too had felt the viciousness of the waves. He too had heard the violence of the wind. He too had felt the dampness of the rising water. He had been right there in the stern of the boat the entire time. But even with his continued presence, the disciples still struggled with letting their fear take control and their sense of abandonment define them. And with fear at the helm, they felt like they were perishing and Jesus didn't even care. "Why are you afraid?" Jesus gently asked. "Have you still no faith?" Those are good questions to ask ourselves when we are being tossed around in our own storms. When panic begins to overwhelm us and we cannot see the breaking light through the dark clouds, Jesus' questions are powerful to remember. For perhaps if we ask ourselves those questions, we might be able to put fear again in its proper place. And then we could recall Jesus' words to the storm, "Peace. Be still." And we could remember that even as the chaos swirled, he was right there with them in the middle of it. Jesus stayed with his disciples in the boat, just asleep. He slept because he knew that his power was greater than the power of the sea. He slept because he knew his healing would overcome the storm's great devastation. He slept because he knew that his peace was at the helm and not their fear. He slept because Jesus knew it would all happen. The healing and the peace would happen all in good time. The inbreaking of the light of the moon was shining on the tumultuous waves even before he spoke. Listen to how a poet reflects on the drama based on a Rembrandt painting. "Mystery of divine neglect. The light of the world lies in a dark stern about to be drenched. He who watches over Israel slumbers and sleeps. He who upholds them lets them retch over the boat's edge, risk a watery death while they grasp at swinging ropes, feet slipping on wet boards. One cowers, reciting a psalm with chattering teeth. One pulls desperate on a useless oar. One reaches out to awaken him. Carest thou not that we perish?" Reasonable question at a time like this. If this is safety, it looks a lot like danger. His care looks a lot like carelessness. And yet, the winds and the sea obey him in his good time. Even now, breaking light shines on the breaking waves. One more thing. This story also reveals for us that while Jesus gently questioned his disciples' loyalty to fear, he did not throw them overboard into the chaos and the danger. He didn't say, "That's it. I've had it. I've told you everything I know and you still don't get it. Get out. I'm going to go find some better disciples." That's not at all how Jesus responded. He did not respond to their questions with rejection. Not at all. Rather, Jesus responded by continuing to sail with them. He didn't resent their struggle. Perhaps he understood it. We simply know that he just kept on saving them time after time, even as they kept on questioning and struggling and fearing that they were always going to perish. Disciples continued to cry out through the ages, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And Jesus replies again and again, "Peace, be still. The light is already breaking through, even in the midst of the storm. I am with you always. Don't be afraid." Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.